Hello and welcome. It's high time that I did another quick update for Connecting Consciousness. It's the 4th of April, and you must have noticed that quite a number of people who have connections and are able to have useful information have been quiet of late. And some of them are under non-disclosure agreements, and some people have just been asked to, just not give anything away. What we've noticed, or what we've been told, is that the bad people who have been starved of their usual information, and we'll talk about a little bit about that, have now gone to watching the social media sites, and they have a list, I understand, of key people and that they like to listen to see if any indication of what is to come is spoken about, and then they go and phone their controllers, and that information is passed back. That's not, dreamland. That's actually happening. And so people who have a real commitment to ensuring that, that we win this fight, we've had to curb our natural tendencies to tell everyone what's happening for the greater good. But I haven't spoken for a while, and I think I should do. The difficulty with BitChute, where we're on at the moment, is that the video can't be downloaded very quickly. So a lot of you guys are having to listen to the audio because it just can't cope. Now I understand that in their munificence, YouTube are prepared to let me back in April. I don't know when, but we can find that out. So that's interesting because, before we got deplatformed, I was reaching 3 million people. That's the reason we got deplatformed. They don't like 3 million people having access to truth for no other reason. That's why they pull the plug, and also started to talk about things that they didn't like. All right, so there we go. Here we are. First of all, happy Easter to everybody. It's great for people to have a few days off, and good chance for Becky, who's the overall coordinator, and myself as the founder of Connecting Consciousness, to celebrate the fact that we have 70,000 members worldwide, and it's all been done on a shoestring. And I wish to, and so does Becky, want to thank all of the international coordinators, the regional coordinators, the state coordinators, the county coordinators, for all the great work that you've done in the past and you're doing at the moment, and hopefully you'll continue to do. And also to thank all the members of Connecting Consciousness for, staying and contributing and being part of this great awakening that we're on. But running an organization on a shoestring really takes it out of you. And, I don't think. Why should people realize? I don't think people realize, but why should they realize? You have quite a lot. I mean, I know Charlie Ward gets 3,500 emails a day. We probably get 1,000 emails a day, but that's not including all the emails that the coordinators in the different countries deal with. And it is a bit much at the moment. So I've just said we're going to take 10 days off. And when I say 10 days off, what it means is we'll still be here. We're not going to some little island with a palm tree. We're just going to be, doing the work we do, but we're not going to be responding to all those emails. So please don't send emails. We're not really in a position at the moment to do that. And people are already equating 10 days of darkness with us taking 10 days off. What is it you know, Simon, that we don't know? Well, we're just going to take a few days off because, we're really snowed under with work at the moment, and it's quite a good chart time to, I think, take a bit of a step back from continually having to work with emails. All right, that's the domestic stuff. Let's talk about the stuff that you're interested in, and we're all interested in. So in no order at all. Incredible how the unawake and unaware people just think a very long ship with containers on it got blown off course and got stuck. Maybe they think the captain fell asleep, you know, at the wheel. Maybe a mouse got on the steering wheel, the capstan, and spun it round, and, you know, they'll just believe anything, won't they? So here's the situation: that all modern ships are by and large computer controlled, and you know, when you fly on an airplane, passenger airplane, it has an autopilot, and a lot of the journey is on autopilot. And so it is with these great long ships, that a lot of it is on autopilot, and you know, the human element takes over when either it's a very tricky situation that the computer can't cope with. And that's always comforting to know that the machine has its limitations. You know, docking at port, coming away, and things like that. The captain, he or she would, you know, want to have that. And so it's not that difficult then to understand that, let's just call them the good guys, white hats, of course, cowboy fame, took control of that craft and literally rammed it into the bank. They did so at the narrowest point. We know that Evergreen was the code word for Hillary Clinton when she was in office. We also know that the call sign for that craft was the initials for Hillary Clinton. Call sign was a number of letters and numbers, but they actually, you know, that's quite shocking, but that's a fact. And on the bridge of the ship was the captain and two Egyptian harbour guys, the guys who were supposed to pilot a very big ship, you know, through the canal. So there are three people who should have been in control. And the information I've got is that they were very unhelpful to the authorities, which makes it very suspicious and is one of the reasons that the three have been arrested. It's not been widely reported, but the captain and the two harbour guys who pilot the ships have been arrested. Now, the American naval units worked very closely with the Egyptian government. I can say that, although the media didn't cover it, those containers were looked at, you know, and it's well known that trafficking of children, many of them are put in air-conditioned containers, food and water and air-conditioned. They don't want these people to die because they're financially valuable to the cabal. And so lots of children and women have been trafficked in containers. It's from their perspective, it's a good way because it avoids detection. You know, you've got 16, 17, 18,000 containers on one ship and you're boarded by, so you're going to look through 18,000 containers. So it's a very clever, from their way of doing it. Well, I can say to you that the American Marine units were in position. It was all planned. And, you know, my understanding was that there were some children in those containers. I also understand there were some who didn't make it. This is terribly tragic. It's one of the reasons those three people on the ship have been arrested, but that won't be publicly known. Why was it done is a question many people ask. Well, the thing is that, first of all, the good people are looking at every possibility while we're still in this covert operation to try to get information out to anyone who's half awake and half aware. Anyone who's, you know, these brain dead people, they're just not going to see it. But there are a lot of people out there who are waking up. And so it was another 9/11 moment in the sense that there was an official narrative, which was high winds blew the ship off course. Which, you know, if you've been on a boat and you've read the newspapers, then you'll think, how many ships use that? How many times has that happened? How can an experienced captain let that happen? So a lot of people are waking up to that and beginning to understand that there's much more to this. And every day that Evergreen ship was blocking that canal, the cabal lost between 400 and 500 million $1 a day, because they move so much drugs or any products really that are, you know, connected to them, that they get their kickback on. So every day that it was off, they were losing 450 to 500 million. And so that's one of the reasons that it was left there for as long as it was. And then it was moved further up. And then again, the good guys took control of it and parked it, shall we say. And so that's very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about what is the possibility of overcoming the mainstream media. Those of you who've got good memories will remember that Mike Pompeo, many moons ago, tried on two or three occasions to test the system to see if mainstream media would actually carry his message, and they refused point blank. It is actually bound by law to carry any emergency broadcast system from the federal government. It's part of their contract. It doesn't matter how private, as a private company, they are absolutely enshrined in law. Could be an earthquake, could be anything. And they refused three times. And that, even for some of the people in Trump's team, that was quite shocking, because some of them hadn't perhaps appreciated just how difficult this was going to be. And so it was realized that in order to take control of the terrestrial mainstream media, you are not really going to be able to do it from the Earth, and that you would need to do it from space. You will have seen some clips on YouTube under the title of meteorite or asteroid. You know, there are some people saying it was a ballistic missile shot down. The only reason that YouTube are keeping it up is because people who filmed it on their mobile phones, their cell phones, recorded it as an asteroid or a meteorite. So it didn't trigger YouTube's truth alarm. However, what I can tell you is that these were more than one satellites operated by Mossad. And these satellites were communication satellites. And it was quite important that these satellites were taken out of commission. And they were done so from space. So don't imagine missiles or energy beam weapons fired from the ground. These were hunter-killer satellites that took out these cabal communication satellites. As of last week, a further 60 white hat satellites were launched, bringing to the total of around about 120 new satellites, which are part of a global network of communications, which should they be required, would allow the good guys to completely control not just the media in the United States, but the world. And this is really important. And the date we've been given for them going live may not be the truth. We've been given the date as the 7th of April when they go live. But it's my experience that if we're given the 7th, they're already probably alive and working, or will be very shortly. And this is a absolutely important part of the Space Force. And President Trump spoke about the Space Force. Many people had this vision of, you know, the Enterprise starship, or, you know, the traditional flying saucer. Now that may well be, but I think when President Trump was speaking about it, he was more talking about more material that we would understand in terms of being able to police the inner space, shall we say, between here and 250,000 miles out to the moon. And so this type of operation would require a completely new set of satellites. You know, you're talking about every country having a different language, every country using a different system, and you've got to be able to deal with everything in one go. You can't just say, well, okay, we'll have a chat with America, 3 days later we'll have a chat with Japan. It has got to be right across the board. And so it's not just a case of throwing a switch. There are so many people who got terribly frustrated and think it's the easiest thing in the world to switch off a particular broadcaster. It's not actually. It's really complicated. And so just to let you know that there are 120 new satellites, which will be part of that system if they should be required. There's been a lot very recently, speculation and quite a lot of talk about some big actions. And I, on the Doug Billings show about a month ago, I half in jest said I wouldn't have a problem if, you know, they did away with the White House. And Doug, I think, said to me something along the lines of, well, what do you mean? I said, well, just put a wrecking ball through it or bulldoze it or knock it down. You know, because nobody living in the White House, even the actor Biden, is not in the White House. I don't think there's anyone in there. So if a weapon from space was activated on the White House, I don't think anyone would lose their life. And the good guys are very, very conscious that nobody should lose their life. And think about Nashville. Nashville was not a bad guy action. It was a white hat action, and not a single person lost their life. So congratulations to the White Hats. Well done, well planned, excellent. Shows what you can do when you've been given a free hand, doesn't it? And I'm glad that, you know, people didn't get involved and, you know, make your lives very difficult or give you extra problems. You just were able to get on and deliver that. And that was excellent. I think there's probably more to come, isn't there? So, you know, we talk about the Three Gorges Dam and, oh, we can't mention that word. Well, I think we can. There have been so many earthquakes, and that dam is realistically weakened. And it probably will only take another maybe 5 or 6 on the scale to seriously cause a crack in that dam for that dam to come down. It really is weakened. You know, that's not just hyperbole. I mean, it really is damaged. And, you know, another good, decent earthquake and that will come down, and that will be a natural disaster, or sort of an act of God, really. So what we're looking at, I think, is these debates that have been coming out that, you know, there could be some actions taken against certain targets in New York, certain places, and, you know, there's some real hysteria now. People are saying, if you get the alarm, you must run for the hills. Now, look, good guys don't kill people unnecessarily. Otherwise, you become like the bad people. And then everything you fought for is for nothing, because you just replace one tyranny with another. You remember the Nashville where that camper van was just broadcasting, evacuate, there's a bomb, evacuate, there's a bomb, and giving a countdown. Bad guys wouldn't have done that. They'd have sold ice cream or hot dogs from the back to get as many people as possible and to kill as many as possible. So we always know from the modus operandi who's behind things. And so I don't think it's helpful for some of these people to talk about, you know, there's going to be a catastrophe in New York or somewhere. And they talk about the rods of God. There are two types of space weapon. There's the one that is publicly known as the rods of God, and there's a secret weapon which people don't know about. And the Nashville was not rods of God. Nashville was another secret weapon, more secret than rods of God. You know, if you're in intelligence, you're in the military, and you have two cards, doesn't matter what they are, you show the lesser of the card to everybody, and they think, that's that, you know, well, that's the King of Spades. Oh, that's a really good card. What you don't show them is the ace that you hold. So everybody thinks, right, he's got the king, and that's what they plan on. But of course, if you're holding the ace and you play that, then the other side doesn't have an answer for it. And so it is the Ace of Spades that could well be played. But the point is, I'm quite horrified when I was hearing this, and I really couldn't condone any good guy action to take out an object that would have collateral damage. And I don't accept the fact that everybody in a particular city is evil. You know, you have a block, there might be 5 bad people and 5 good people. Well, that doesn't justify you killing all 10 people. And that's not what I'm about. I don't believe most of you are about. I don't think that's what the White Hats are about. So if there is to be actions, act of God type of actions, I think it would be on targets that have nobody around it. So, I mean, I'm quite happy for the White House to be dealt with. No one in there. On Capitol building, as long as there's no one in there, certainly the tunnels have all been emptied. And, you know, they're both evil places, but the Capitol Hill building actually is pretty bad. And so, you know, do away with that and replace it with a memorial garden, something like that. But there may be other places in New York, like a satanic statue or some satanic temple or something that's masquerading as a DIY store, as a 7-Eleven store, but really is some cult headquarters. Well, I don't have any problem with that being taken out, but I certainly wouldn't subscribe to this panic view that's going around social media, that there are going to be these indiscriminate attacks by the good guys on populated cities. That is not helpful. You know, if anything is going to be taken out, it'll be surgically, strategically taken out. If at all, who knows? But they have the capability to do that. And a lot of these earthquakes that have been detected in different parts of the world are in fact the tungsten armed or depleted uranium armed rods of God. They do create on the Richter scale between 4 and 5, generally speaking, depending on the bedrock and what they're going for. But a number of earthquakes, and there have been proportionately a lot, according to experts who've told me, around that 4 to 5 mark. And in some of those cases, I actually do believe that weapons from space have been used to deal with, not necessarily in America, but in other countries. And so that's quite exciting that I believe that's occurring and happening. And so, I don't think it's wise to start saying that this city is going to be hit and that city is going to be hit. And when you get the warning, evacuate, run for the hills, that's the sort of terms that have been said. What about if you're in a wheelchair? What about if you're a single parent? How do you run for the hills if you're on welfare? You might be a really good person and in a wheelchair. Who's going to get you out? These are the points that the good guys should be asking themselves. And that's why it shouldn't happen that any targets that are gone for are targets that have zero or are projected to have zero loss of life. And where there are casualties, then they are casualties of people who are operating a particular facility or are deeply embedded in that satanic culture and therefore are legitimate military targets. In terms of governments of the world, I honestly think that when President Trump is returned, then we'll see some semblance of sanity returning to world governments. At the moment, the captain of the ship is not on the bridge officially, and all these other little boats with their captains are sort of saying, well, what do I do now? And there's nobody on there, and they're sort of turning the wheel left and turning the wheel right. And of course, all these satanic, cabalistic people are whispering in the ears of otherwise good leaders, telling them this and telling them that and feeding them full of fear. Might be about COVID, it might be about anything. And I think once Trump comes back, then I think that those evil rats will disappear back into the shadows, and it will embolden good men and women throughout the world. And there are some good people, embolden them to come back and do what's right for the people, not what's right for this small evil group who want to rule the world. And so there are positive signs, there really are. And the very fact that many of us have been told to cool it and not divulge anything that could have a material assistance to the enemy, that actually is very encouraging. In terms of the quantum financial system, I, of course, will tip my hat to Charlie Ward, who knows a lot more about it than I do. But what I will say to you is that it is a key part of humanity's freedom. Again, those of you who've been with me a long time know for over 10 years I've talked about, the power of money, and how I call it the Babylon spell, the Babylonian spell of magic. And basically, how can you have a free human race if they are trapped by a few people controlling money? And so this new system, if it works well, could free all of us from this slavery, which the traditional financial system is and was always designed to be. And I think if you starve the cabal from their lifeblood, and that's not adrenochrome in this case, it is money. If you starve them of their money, they cannot then do all the operations. And it's not widely known that the mint in America has stopped making coins. And the Inland Revenue Service, the IRS in America, have called last week an emergency meeting because part of the new financial system will starve the old regime of money. And so the IRS have called a top-level meeting because they've noticed a real drawdown on their resources. And, you know, the bad guys lose $450 million every day because the canal was blocked. It's money they can't get. They are pulling money out of the stock market and trying to buy other things with it. And I do believe that they'll be successful in the sense that they will get the money out. But I do believe that the good government will come after them and take that money back and put it back into the pot. It's very hard for all of us, including myself, to actually get our head around the amount of money we're talking about that the bad guys have been hoarding. You know, it's just part of their culture. And I've often talked over the last 10 or 11 years of a nice chocolate cake and, you know, how it's run by the cabal in that, you know, if you're fair, you cut your cake into slices. If five of you, you cut it by five, or maybe you do it a little bit smaller so that you've got a slice left to share amongst people. But you try to be, you know, nice and equal and share it out. But of course, what the bad guys do is that they take 3/4 of the cake for themselves, and then they cut those other pieces and give them out, and then they come after those people to get those pieces of cake back. In terms of a company, what would happen is that they would then come in and try and, you know, buy over the board or the directorship, so they control that company. And so that's the way they've worked. Well, this new system won't allow that. And it's beginning to show just how much money these very, very evil people over goodness knows how many years have just squirreled away. I mean, the figure we were given for the Vatican was 34 quintillion. And there were tunnels something like 60 miles long. And there was gold, of course. Jewelry, paintings, artwork, artifacts, some of them going right back to ancient Alexandria. Some really, really astonishing things. And, you know, it didn't fill this tunnel 60 miles long in terms of fill, but it lined it. So on both sides of the tunnel, there was all this, there was cash as well, precious objects, lining 60 miles of tunnel. And goodness knows, they did tell me, I can't remember how many airplane loads were crated and sent off and, you know, went to where they'd been stolen from. Much of it came back to the United States of America, but others went to other places where it was obvious where it had been stolen from and taken from. And, you know, we were shown the new note that will replace the currencies of the world, the United States note. Very interesting. We've seen the prototype for the Russian one. Other countries won't be easily going down that road at the moment, but I think they'll be basically forced into it. So we have a system now, I think, which is just about ready to liberate humanity. But that comes to the final point now. It's about the people. So many people realize that something was wrong. And so many people, quite rightly, expect somebody else to do it. But here's the point. Once America and the world is put into balance, as a peoples, what we should say is, never again will we allow anybody to come in and steal our sovereignty from under our noses, because that's what's happened over thousands of years. People have come in, elite bloodlines or just strong men, and through force or trickery, they put themselves in positions of power. So there was the guy that dug the land and the master who lived in the big house. And, you know, the guy had to give 3/4 of whatever he grew on the land to the master. And that was accepted. And that was called, you know, the feudal system. And it was the Middle Ages. So we need to understand that we need to throw off thousands of years of the shackles of the control system. And that won't be easy. But what a relief when people actually understand that they can live a much more free and happier life without the big system crushing us all the time. And that's one of the things, isn't it? And I was chatting to a couple of people not so long ago. We were saying that we are kept so busy deliberately. The system keeps us so busy. We don't have a moment for ourselves. And yet as spiritual people, we're continually talking about meditation. But the system tries to stop us meditating, tries to stop us thinking by putting 1 million tasks or worries or concerns in front of us, in front of our face. And I hope that when this new system comes in, it will, through perhaps a reduction in taxation, perhaps a reduction in interest rates, allow people more breathing space. You don't have to work for every penny because you've got to keep a roof over your head. Maybe the future is coming where we can take some time to really look into ourselves and develop ourselves and those people around us. So that is not just about a change in the money. It's a change in the way that humans live because the control system is reduced around them. So that's important. In terms of connecting consciousness, you know, we have now 70,000 members worldwide, and we're growing. I'm very pleased with the way that it's developing in the countries. And, you know, we are, as a group, we're looking at how we can bring real physical and spiritual assistance to people. You know, we've identified a number so far, just a small number of potential places where we can do some work. And I've talked about, you know, Great Britain, looking at, you know, setting up a healing center there, certainly in the United States, but other countries as well. I'm not going to forget Europe. I'm not going to forget Africa. I'm not going to forget Australia. I'm not going to forget Ireland, Scotland, Wales. So, you know, I hope to be in a position where Connecting Consciousness can use its quite unique network across the globe. Well, we are stronger in some places and weaker in others. That's the nature of it. But to be able, where we have a strong base, a strong network, to put projects in, and let's just call them the new financial government. And let's hope that the new financial government will recognize all of the spiritual groups across the planet, all of the spiritual individuals who didn't just jump on a bus yesterday and say, you know, I'm spiritual, but I've been on this journey for a long time, have a track record, which, you know, has shown that consistency, you know, and let us deliver the change that is desperately needed on this earth. And let's not use the same old bad guys, the same old organizations that always get the government contracts. Every time, they don't even have to do anything. They just don't even have to turn up to the office. Perhaps they have to fill a form in or make a phone call, but, you know, it's a done deal with these people. And I'm sure many of you listening to me today, you've worked in organizations that call themselves a charity, but act like an empire. I've worked for charities. Some were very, very good, and some were dreadful. And I think that, you know, there are a number of individuals or organizations we wouldn't want going anywhere near a humanitarian project. We wouldn't trust that individual or that organization or that corporation, no matter how, you know, distant it might be from perhaps the big names that we're aware of, to deliver life-saving or spiritual giving projects. We just wouldn't trust them. And I think that's the difference now, that the bad people there, control of those institutions, they should be severely reduced. And that would mean that smaller organizations that would never be invited to the government, would never be invited to sit down and break bread. It's very good on Easter. That's a bit of an in-joke, isn't it? With the government to get a contract, just wouldn't. And I've always said that from my experience, where I used to work for local councils in London, and you only got money when someone else had given you money. So for instance, you put a grant into the Urban Fund and you'd get maybe 20,000 from them. Then you'd go to the European Social Fund and they may give you 50,000. Then you'd go to the Home Office, depending on what the project is, they'd give you 10,000. Local council might give you 5,000. But they're all giving you money because somebody else gave you money. Not for any other reason. It was it's a safe bet, and it's called match funding. And so those organizations, their ethos wasn't actually in many cases about doing good work for people. It was about building an empire. It was about creating an attraction with government or with international funders and the banks. And it was about being seen as a go-to organization if you wanted to, push some money in someone's direction. And in the organizations I worked, the rule basically was, we don't care how you do it, just hit the targets. And that was the culture. And I very rarely can remember any of my ever bosses ever phoning me up and wanting to inquire about the clients. All it was, have you hit the targets? Have you done this? Have you done that? The only time I really had a good was with Tower Hamlets Council. Tower Hamlets Council were excellent. And, yes, sure, they had to go for their contracts, but my line managers in that regeneration actually cared about people. And that was the only time I really experienced, my superiors actually complimenting me on, assisting deprived individuals. And my team, a wonderful team I had, helping them and getting those people into worthwhile employment or college or university or whatever it might have been. But in most cases, it's just a conveyor belt. And we do need to get away from it because human life is more important. And remember, I used to, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I used to say, why is it that the guy who runs a bank will be paid more money every week or every month than a person, usually a woman, but not exclusively so, than a woman who works in a care home looking after old people, some of whom are dying of cancer or dying of something, and has to go in every day and be cheerful and physically lift that person and check everything's right. And if it's not right, to call a doctor. Why is a bank manager paid so much more money than a person who goes in and looks after dying people? And there's an answer to that. And the answer is, the bank manager makes money. The care worker doesn't make any money. They just alleviate the suffering. And so the cabalic system, the satanic system, doesn't value caring. It doesn't value looking after people. All it values is, how much money have you made? How much money have you saved? And the people who matter to these people, like the cabal, so let's say there's a big boss, a big gang member in the cabal, and he gets very ill, he won't go to the state aid. He'll have some special Swiss hospital or wherever it might be. And so he doesn't suffer the cutbacks. He doesn't suffer the lack of funding. He doesn't suffer the indignity of that, because he has got so much money that he's elite and he buys his way out of it. But all the rest of us, we have to take what we can get. And that's how it's been. And to a certain extent, we're all guilty because we've allowed this over thousands of years to occur. We've allowed these people to do this. And they're very clever. They do it bit by bit. And I'd like to live in a world where the lady down the road who looks after a 90-year-old doesn't just get the barest minimum wage and is treated like rubbish, but actually is saluted and hailed as a wonderful person who supports and assists an elder person in the last few years of their life. Sometimes it's the last few months of their life, but does everything that you would wish that you would be done to you if you were in that position. And so we should be celebrating, and we should be valuing, and we should be giving these people money, not just nurses. Nurses are a part of a strong union. And if every nurse walked out, then the government would be in a right old pickle. There's so many people who do good deeds and don't have anyone to speak up for them. And we need to get away from this aspect that a man or a woman who makes a lot of money is successful and is valuable, and the person who doesn't is not successful and not valuable. That is one of the greatest evils that faces humanity. And we're all guilty in allowing that system, and that needs to go. Absolutely needs to go. We need to value life. It doesn't matter who it is, whether we know them or not, we need to value life. And we need to actually say that money is very useful and we can do good work with it, but it doesn't become our God. So I hope in the coming days and weeks, we are going to see a massive change on this planet. And I don't just mean on the social media side. I mean, it's got to have an effect. It has to be on mainstream media. You know, to have an effect, basically mainstream media has got to be taken down. The emergency broadcast system has got to come out. Because how else will the half-dead, brain-dead people actually understand the truth? You know, how else will they realize and begin that long journey of awakening? And all of those, if you listen to me, you may have started your long journey yesterday, or you may have started it 30 years ago, 40 years ago, who knows? But the point is that there's a shed load of people, a ton of people out there who've not yet started their journey and will need this proverbial kickstart, this slap, to get them to a question. And so perhaps we do need the mainstream media being shut down for 10 days. We do need a few issues to make people really leave their humdrum life and start to question. And I think that will be the turning point for a far better future for humanity. And finally, with the Q movement, the only reason that the Q has been able to predict years, certainly months, but actually years ahead, and genuinely can, is because of the quantum computer. The bad guys have a computer. It's not quantum, but they have a computer which is based in the lower fourth dimension. And that is effective up to about 6 months, and I've talked about it before. The human race is so unpredictable that if you attempt to predict more than 6 months ahead, it's pretty damn difficult when you're operating in the lower fourth dimension. The quantum is much higher. It's outside of the fourth dimension. Some people call it or equate it to God-type energy. I don't know that I would agree with that, but I call it fifth dimensional. And that has the ability, some people say it's through the Akashic, projecting forward, not just the back, but projecting forward through a split timeline. And I do believe that. And I think that it can see something and, you know, it will report it 1, 2, 3 years before it happens. Now, the bad guys don't have that. And that's really important. They do not have access to that. which means that they are only competent 6 months ahead. So the good guys can lay traps for them a year ahead, 2 years ahead, 3 years ahead. And those of you who've studied President Trump will know that that's exactly what he's done. He's laid traps. President Trump knows exactly what he's doing, and the team around him know exactly what he's doing, and they know what they're doing. And that's why I said, you know, don't trust the plan, trust the man. And I'm so pleased that we didn't have a huge, you know, armed civilian uprising. It could well have gone that way. And, you know, what would that have achieved? Absolutely nothing. If thousands of loyal patriots had taken to the streets, you wouldn't have been facing the cabal or Antifa. You'd have been facing National Guard, the cops, or regular military. And that's exactly what Antifa and the bad guys wanted. They wanted patriots to be in a standoff fight with their own friends, i.e. the military. So I thank the Lord that the American people didn't take the bait. I thank the Lord that the American people did not take their anger out on anyone in a uniform. And that was very important, and the bad guys were very angry that they had not successfully caused a revolution, a civil revolution in America. That's what they wanted. And then they would have labeled everybody who was a true patriot, they would have labeled everyone as a violent criminal gang member. You know, when I was on YouTube and I referred to people at a Trump rally, I referred to people at a Trump rally as patriots. One of the reasons I got kicked off YouTube was because YouTube said that they weren't patriots. These were violent, this is exact words, violent criminal gang members. So a Trump supporter in YouTube, on their rules and regulations, is a crime gang member. And therefore, if you promote a Trump supporter in YouTube's parlance, you are promoting a violent gang member, so you're deplatformed. So I was deplatformed 3 months off YouTube because I spoke positively about patriots. I spoke positively about President Trump. It was never rude. I very rarely swear. I don't say anything that's illegal. And I say, you know, I can go out on the street corner here and I can speak easily, and a policeman or policewoman can walk past me and they might say, can you keep your voice down, sir? But it's not illegal. I say the same things on YouTube, and somebody who's never been elected decides that, oh, you can't say that. That's the danger. And you know, President Trump is a very clever man. And I can assure you that he wouldn't be happy in allowing this situation to go on a moment longer than it has to. You know, we do have a situation where we have God knows how many actors playing Biden, God knows how many clones, don't know how many stand-ins, how many impersonators, don't know how many people with a mask over their face, don't know how many robots, don't know how many holographs. Probably we will be shocked at the range of models they've got to do that. But as much as it angers me, it actually entertains me. When he said, you know, he went to the Senate 120 years ago, you know, you've got to ask yourself, is he trying to help the good guys? Is he actually trying to help? Is he trying to wake people up? Or is he just completely crazy? Maybe it's a mixture, I don't know. So just wanted to reconnect with everybody, taking a few days off, 10 days off, in fact, not on a sun-drenched summer holiday with a palm tree and a nice cold drink. We are working, but we're not going to do with the heavy stuff that we do every day, day in, day out. We don't have a paid team. We rely on volunteers. We're very grateful. but you know, we do need some help. So bit of a break, but we're still here, of course, and still planning for the future. And we do believe the future is going to be really exciting. You know, we've got this connection to the United States, we've got the connection to Britain, and you know, it's our plan to, you know, operate as many countries as possible, to have bases in a number of countries where we can go out and turn Connecting Consciousness into a not-for-profit organization. So it's a, I don't like the word charity because it's got such a nasty overtone for me, but that's what it will be. It'll be a non-for-profit organization. But my goodness me, it's going to have rules and regulations to prevent all the nastiness that I saw when I worked for charitable organizations. So it's really exciting for us. We just want to get going like every other good person on this planet, deliver good things, just see a change in the world. The days where the satanic, evil, nasty people automatically got rewarded and the good person was just forgotten. Could be a job, you were overlooked for a job. It could be that, you know, it was a financial deal. It could be anything like that. And let's swap it around now. Let's have the good people being rewarded. Let's educate the bad people that that doesn't pay anymore, that they've got to change. I don't just mean put on a Biden mask and play a part. I mean really change from inside. And let's the good people be rewarded, because good always triumphs over evil. And, you know, God, the source, great creator, whatever term you want, didn't bring us all here to fall at the last minute to midnight. That's not what the plan was. We were brought here to be tested. And those of us that saw it through would go on and develop, and those that didn't would have to go around the racetrack another time. But the great creator, who is responsible, the source, ain't going to let the bad guys win in the end. 100% convinced of that. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to speak to you all, and a happy Easter to all of you. Thank you.